Sometimes Neil Gill for breakfast doesn't all fit in between 6 and 9 each morning.
So this is where we put the extra bits. All the bits you may have missed. Neil Gill for breakfast.
The podcast. Anytime you want on Listener.
Thanks for joining me on this week's episode of the Triple M Breakfast Podcast. This week we're going to catch up with Russell Tim from Moneylink Financial Planning. And we're going to compare how Australian share markets have performed as opposed to world share markets and then what that means for your investments. Also, on last week's episode, we caught up with Matt Jeffrey, who was embarking on an expedition with his 14-year-old son to paddle down the Darling River from Bourke to Tilpa. Well, he's now on the river and we'll catch up with him on this week's episode. But firstly, he is a world champion in the original extreme sport. It's a sport that requires stamina, precision, skill, strength, speed, and many, many more things as well. I'm talking about timber sports, and he is a world champion and he's a world and Australian champion time over. And his name is Brad DeLosa. Brad, great to have you with us today. Timber sports, it really does require prowess in many, many disciplines.
Yeah, it certainly is. You know, they call it the original extreme sport, and it's certainly very exciting to watch on TV and especially live.
Yeah, because sometimes there's just hundredths of seconds between you and your competitor.
Yeah, for sure. You know, over even events we have three or four disciplines, sometimes it comes down to milliseconds in the final stages. So it's really exciting to watch when there's a close finish like that.
Okay, people who have no idea what we're talking about, there are six disciplines, is that right?
Yeah, so in timber sports, we do six disciplines, three sawing events and three chopping events. So the sawing events are the old single, traditional single crosscut saw that we use. Then we use the MS-661 steel chainsaw just to go down and up through a log, just a standard chainsaw, no modifications in that. And then we also race a hot saw, which is like a 325 or 300cc snowmobile or motorcycle engine transformed into a hot saw, and we race that down, up and down through the logs. So they're the three sawing events. Then the three chopping events are the underhand, where the log's horizontal and we stand on it, the standing block, where the log is vertical and we chop it, and then also the springboard, where you put the two boards in and go up the tree and cut on the top.
Yeah, right, okay. And the big countries in this, Australia, of course, the Canadians, I know the Swedes are pretty handy at this as well.
Yeah, for sure. There's some great European countries coming along. You know, predominantly Australia and New Zealand, US and Canada are the strongest teams, but certainly the European guys are coming in, and Swedish actually got second in the World Championships last year, which is a great effort.
Yeah, fantastic. Mate, your list of achievements, I can't even begin to start because we'd be here all morning talking about them, but my goodness me, you've hit the heights.
Yeah, certainly it's been a great career. I just started off just a little local show down in Lithgow, and then I went on from there to junior representative teams and senior teams, and then got into timber sports. About 2003, I went across to the US, where the timber sports originated in 1985, and I went across there to test myself against the best, and then, sort of got hooked on it, and, the rest is history. So I've travelled all through Europe and the US, competing at timber sports events, and had a lot of success along the way, which has been great.
And then over to Italy later in May?
Yeah, so I just qualified. We just had the Australian Trophy event up in Cairns a few weeks back, and I was successful in winning that. So now I've qualified to go over to Milan. So it's on the 24th of May over in Italy. So I head over there on about the 17th and do a few days training and acclimatise, and then head into Milan for the competition.
I wonder, when you're a kid going out getting a load of wood, you'd ever think that a chainsaw would take you this far in the world?
No, I certainly didn't. You know, it was just one of them things that, sort of hit me later in life. I was about 16, which is a late start compared to most guys. A lot of guys that I do compete against are second or third generation, so they sort of grew up around the competitions and with their axe in their hands. So I was a little bit of a late starter, as they say. But, it's certainly been a great career, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah, fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest this morning is Brad DeLosa. He's going to be at Hutchin & Pierce on the 2nd of May. What can people expect if they come along?
Yeah, so it's a great session down there. It kicks off at about 4 p.m. down at Hutchin & Pierce at 26 Scott's Place in Orange. They've got some great informative sessions of learning how to sharpen your chainsaw and look after your chainsaw, and which is really handy, coming into the winter. About 5:30 to 6 p.m, the timber sports the demonstrations will be on, where I'll be in live action doing some chopping as well as some sawing down there. and the RFS have got a demonstration on chainsaw usage as well. And then there's an evening session about 6:30 for the for all the maintenance, etc., of the chainsaw. So yeah, so pop on down and check it out. That'd be great.
Yeah, Brad DeLose is with us, mate. And listen, keep in touch. It's absolutely thrilled to chat to you. I watch you on TV doing your thing, and you really are top of the pile when it comes to this game, as you head to Milan as well for another crack at the world title. Good to chat this morning, mate. Thanks for your time.
No worries. Thanks very much for having me, Gilly. Cheers, mate.
Neil Gill for Breakfast.
The podcast.
It's now time to catch up with Russell Tim from Moneylink Financial Planning. And we preface this conversation by stating that the advice we are giving here is of a general nature, and each individual should seek advice specific to their own circumstances. Now, there are quite a few different areas you can invest in, aren't there? You might want to change the investments in your super fund, or invest your savings in a managed fund. There are some choices out there. You can invest in fixed interest, Australian shares, overseas shares, commercial property, infrastructure in Australia, or indeed overseas. So, Russell, the question is, which one has done the best? What's giving the best returns?
Yeah, very important question, isn't it? Well, for the last 10 years, the All Ordinaries Accumulation Index of Australian shares, that includes the dividends paid out, that has returned 8.2% per annum. Now, fixed interest and cash were less than half of that, so they're pretty low. But over the same period, commercial property funds traded on the stock market made just over 10% per annum. And also over the same period, the MSCI Index of Global Shares earned 12.7% per annum. So overseas shares have done best by a comfortable margin.
And that extra margin each year will compound over the long term to make quite a big difference at the end.
Yeah, it certainly will, Neil, yeah. $1,000 in Australian shares 10 years ago is now worth $2,200. $1,000 in the overseas shares area is worth just over $3,300.
So is there a reason that overseas shares have done better, and is it likely to continue that pattern?
I think there's probably several reasons why the international shares have done better. Firstly, major industries operate overseas that don't exist here or are very small. We don't have any major technology companies, Microsoft, Facebook, Apple, Google, Amazon, etc. They're all US-based. There are also many microchip manufacturers overseas in the US and in Europe, some big operators in Europe and Taiwan. These companies have made huge gains over recent years, and I think that's likely to continue.
Yeah, it seems likely that they'll be the main developers and distributors of artificial intelligence applications, and I'm not aware of any Australian company that looks like it's going to be a major player in AI.
No, that's right, yeah. Now, Australia also, we only have one pharmaceutical company, that's CSL, and it only operates in the blood products area. The major drug companies worldwide make big profits from new drugs they develop and patent. The latest example is the weight loss drugs developed by Denmark's Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly in the US. These are hugely profitable, and the companies are racing to build new factories to try and keep up with the demand.
We do very little manufacturing in Australia. The Prime Minister has made a plan for a new wave of manufacturing operations, his new Future Made in Australia plan. Will that help us diversify into new profitable areas?
I doubt it, Neil. Our labour costs are too high. Some overseas countries do very well from manufacturing. China's the obvious example. How could we ever compete with them? Our car manufacturing industry closed down because the labour costs were too high, and also our home market was too small compared to the major countries overseas. You know, if you think about Volkswagen, Toyota, BMW, and then Airbus, Boeing, Caterpillar, you know, those big companies, they're big volume producers. Australia can't, I can't see us ever competing with them, even with government subsidies. And solar panels, well, China produces them in massive volumes, super cheap.
Yeah, maybe instead of subsidising new manufacturing operations, our government should be offering subsidies and incentives to help new high-tech startup businesses and innovators. Maybe it could help find and grow some future major technology companies here.
Yeah, well, now that's a good idea, Neil. Yeah, that would be good for the country. I think Australia's weaker investment returns may also be due partly to our over-regulation and bureaucracy. It takes far too long to get approvals to do anything. From when an exploration company discovers a mineral deposit, it takes about 10 years until it gets all approvals to start mining. In the 1990s, it took 3 to 5 years. New subdivisions, new industrial zones take years to be approved. For example, Orange City Council and the New South Wales Government developer Landcom, they want to build a new residential subdivision east of the old Bunnings site to supply new homes. They expect it will take 4 years just to get the land rezoned.
Even before a sod is turned, that is remarkable. Why so long?
Well, I don't know, Neil. I don't know. Australia has many stringent regulations in all sorts of areas, and they slow down business operations. Think privacy, OH&S, gender equality, diversity requirements, and so on. They may seem minor things, but they do slow down activity and reduce profitability for businesses.
Amazing. All right, so going back to the start, gaining exposure to overseas shares is best done via managed funds, isn't it?
Yes, that's the easiest, Neil, yeah, and a bit of financial advice can also help.
Indeed it can. Thank you, Russell.
Thank you very much, Neil.
And Russell Tim is a representative of Moneylink Financial Planning Proprietary Limited, an Australian financial services licence holder.
Neil Gill for breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 6
on Orange and the Central West's 105.1 Triple M. This is the podcast edition.
Time to head out to the Darling River. We caught up with him last week on the show. I'm talking about Fire and Rescue New South Wales worker Matt Jeffrey. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Neil. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Day two into your trip, paddling from Bourke to Tilpa. You kicked off yesterday. How was the first day?
Sensational. The river's incredible. I think it's about 2K an hour, which is good, giving us a little bit of assistance. Country out here is fantastic. We're a little bit sore, but no, loving every minute of it.
And what is the country looking like? Is it dry out there? Is the river up?
I think it was 4 metres was the river height at Bourke. I'm not that familiar with the country, actually, so I've got nothing to compare it to, but to me, it looks really healthy. Country looks good, so it's been fantastic.
All right, it's a healing paddle you're on. Mate, if you could just quickly remind our listeners, this isn't a fundraiser, this is purely about awareness.
It is. This is the first year it's kicked off. Jeff, the organiser, has been on other paddles, and it's primarily for mental health, both with first responders and Indigenous communities. So, and particularly with our first responders, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Absolutely. Now, you got your 14-year-old son with you.
Yes, young Gus. He's going okay. He's in the front of the kayak, so I've got to keep in time with him, and he sets the pace, but he's doing really, really, really well.
Yeah, fantastic. It'll be a great adventure for the pair of you. I mean, this is life memories here being made.
It is. It is. And that's part of the reason, you know, I decided to do it as well, because I thought it is a special time to be able to hit the river and do it. And we're having a really, really great time and for a great cause. So it's been going really well.
When we spoke to you last week, you were a bit concerned about gear. Obviously, what you got with you is all you're taking now, and you're into day two. So have you left anything behind?
No, we've probably got too much. But the kayak, it's a big double tandem kayak, so it can take a fair bit of weight on it. And I'm not a slim fellow either. But it's coping okay. So we're doing okay with the weight.
All right. So you're on today and tomorrow. What, 30Ks today, 30Ks tomorrow?
Yeah, that's correct. 90Ks all up. But there are some here that will be doing the full 12K all the way through to Tilpa.
Wow. 360 in total, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a mammoth effort. Like, 90K will be enough for me. 360, hats off to them. Great effort.
Yeah, my word it is. You'd be sick of the river after 360Ks, I'll bet. Very good. And is there support people with this, or is it just, obviously someone's got to meet you at the after 90Ks and so you can get in your car and drive home?
Yeah, look, yes. Actually, fortunately, our first night we camped at the night three stop, so our car's already there.
Okay.
We do have a support person, but we're carrying all our own gear, so cooking gear, sleeping, food, everything. So we are self-sufficient in the kayak.
Yeah, fantastic. Fighting mental health and PTSD for first responders and Indigenous people, ladies and gentlemen. That's what the paddle is raising awareness of. I'm with Matt Jeffrey. Matt, you better hang this phone up and help your boy out with that paddling, brother. Talk to you soon. Have a good day.
Will do.
Take care, mate.
Neil. See you. Bye.
Neil Gill for breakfast.
Anytime you want on Listener.
And that concludes this week's episode of the Triple M Breakfast Podcast. And don't forget, you can catch me weekday mornings right here on the Listener app, or of course, on 105.1 Triple M, and we'll be back next week with another episode. Until then, take care.
Neil Gill for breakfast.
Anytime you want on Listener.
And 6 to 9 weekdays on Orange and the Central West, 105.1 Triple M.